This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you ever ask yourself, what was I thinking? Do you sometimes feel like your mind just creates confusion, kind of like testing us to see what we're going to be doing? Have you asked yourself why your mind can't seem to focus on anything other than problems? Well, if you have, I think you're going to really enjoy the show today. I'm going to be talking about the mind, and I want to welcome all of you. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger, and today I am going to be talking about the mind. However, I'm not going to be focusing on the negativities around the mind or the negatives that we think of or how we need to change it or what do we need to do to really get rid of those faults and the limits. I'm not going to be focusing on any of those when I'm talking about the mind today. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be discussing the marvelous life of your mind and how even though you might think that your mind is sometimes just trying to mess up your life, from its perspective, it's a happy camper, no matter what it's dealing with and how you feel emotionally. The reason for this is, from your mind's perspective, it has a marvelous life, and it's working the way it's actually designed to work. So when you think that your mind has gone awry, it really hasn't from its perspective. It's just basically doing what it's designed to do, and it's reflecting what you have input into it. Marvelous show today. I can't wait to share this information with you. It was a completely different perspective that I certainly think of as the mind when I'm doing my medical intuition work and also from my psychological background, psychology background, which is around personality behavioral psychology. So a completely different point of view of how your mind sees things. So it should be an interesting show. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about your mind or about your relationship and life in general, then please give me a call at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. Canadian callers as well. And international callers, just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. I also want to announce, drum roll, that today I launched on my website an offering for a giveaway for a free 1 hour reading with me. If you want to sign up for the drawing itself, you can do that anytime in the month of September. The drawing is actually going to take place October 1st. And then what I'll be doing is notifying the winner via email that they have won that free hour with me in a reading. So if you're interested in signing up for that drawing and getting into it, then go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and enter your email address. And what it'll do, there's a pop-up that comes in that says free 1 hour reading, enter email. It has a little bit of a disclaimer as far as the value of the reading and when it's going to be, the drawing's going to be and everything. So it's got that. So just enter your email address. Once you do that for the drawing, then that pop-up won't come up continually. If you don't, you visit my site. Thank you very much for doing that. But that pop-up's going to come up until you can enter or decide to enter into that drawing. So just go to my homepage, www.ritberger.com, and click on the pop-up and enter your email address, and voila, you are now entered into the drawing for a free 1 hour reading with me. Excuse me. Also, today I'm going to be letting you know that it is the final day to be able to take advantage of that early bird discount for my September 16th webinar that I'm offering on confidence, what to do when it's got up and gone. The webinar is going to be taking place on the 16th of 2014 at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a 90-minute webinar, and I'm going to be covering topics about where to look for confidence in the brain and how to find the confidence that you're looking for when it's got up and gone. Why does it get up and go? And then also the power of self-acceptance and the real benefit, as crazy as it sounds, around failure and fear and uncertainty, and how those three different aspects of how we emotionally react to things can actually stimulate the parts of the brain that really muster up the confidence that we're looking for to be able to deal with whatever life puts in front of us. I'm also going to be defining confidence, because we seem to, in the way that we've been conditioned, to think that confidence is literally something that is a feeling. It's a feeling that gives us that sense of things are going to be okay, we're going to be able to deal with what comes along. But really, when we look at confidence, confidence is actually an action. And in that action, what it does is it requires us to trust ourselves. It requires us to go inside and really become resilient, become determined, and have a plan. Confidence also is an action plan for us to be able to move forward to the desired outcome we are looking for. So what I'm going to be doing is talking about all of those things in the webinar. The nice thing about the webinar is that you don't have to be able to attend it live, because what's going to happen if your schedule doesn't permit it, then anyone who registers for the webinar, and if you do the early bird discount, you're going to save $3 today. And what you do is you automatically get the download. Plus, I always create workbooks that you can use to follow along, gives you a lot more information about confidence that I'm going to be able to cover in the 90 minutes. And then also, it's a great way to capture your notes. So if you want to find out more information, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then what you're going to do is click on that pop-up so you can enter for that free drawing for the reading, 1 hour reading with me. And then just go in and click on the moving slide, confidence, what happens, what to do when it's got up and gone. That'll take you to an information page, and you just register right online. So again, if you can't make it, go ahead and take advantage of the discount itself. Then you'll get the audio download, you'll get the workbook. But if you can join me live, that's even better, because I can feel your energy on the other side of the mic when I'm doing this. So anyway, www.ritberger.com. Okay, let's begin by talking about this 3.5-pound blob, this organ that literally exists between the ears. And between the ears and this blob, this organ, is it really, in essence, controls every aspect of our lives. It controls the activities of the body. It generates thought and controls the thoughts it creates. It controls our emotions and then uses them to discern the quality of the information that it's receiving. It also uses the emotions that we're experiencing around the information to help us in decision making. So it controls the decisions we make. It controls why we like some people and why we don't like others. It controls who we love and how we love. It controls how we communicate and controls how we learn, what we're interested in learning about, and what we do with what we learned. So it's always being in control. And the reason for that is, part of its marvelous life is it loves to be in control. Now, while it's doing all these control things, what it's really doing, it's doing it through the activities of nearly 100 billion neurons that are all firing at the same time. And on top of all of that, the brain is really a very amazing, 100 billion neurons firing all at the same time, touching all parts of the brain to be able to let it do its mental dance that is truly designed to keep us safe and to help us survive and to help us be emotionally connected and to belong and to be able to communicate effectively and all the things that it does. It really is a very privileged organ when we think about it, because every organ in the body relies on the brain to tell it what to do. So every organ in our body and every gland in our body is really working to keep that privileged organ working the way it's designed and being in control of what we do so we can continue to survive in our physical body. The human brain has been evolving for millions of years through a process similar to what the way I explain it is, it's kind of like adding ice cream scoops to a cone. The first evolutionary scoop has to do with the lower part of the brain, the cerebellum and the hypothalamus, which really handle the survival-oriented behavior, like our sex drive, the behavior that comes with our survival, that overt behavior, eating, thirst, So that part of the brain is really very well developed, and there's not a lot of reason for it to continue to evolve, even with our circumstances changing, because it really manages the fundamental aspects of behavior around our survival. So this foundational part of the brain really hasn't evolved very much over the course of this time, and in reality, there's really no need to do it because it works very, 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 very well. The higher centers in the brain, which is the temporal part of the brain, is the emotional processing part of the brain, and it involves the hippocampus, which is the gateway to memory, and the amygdala, which is responsible for creating fear, triggering fear, fight, flight, freeze, the stress response. And then it's really the amygdala is responsible for creating that caution alarm that basically stops us in our tracks so we don't put ourselves in harm's way. This emotional processing part of the brain is a lot more elaborate in what it does. So it's continuing to evolve as the demands of life changes over the course of time and as the demands of interacting with other people come up that causes us to have to adapt and constantly adjusting. So this actual second layer of ice cream scoops that's in the brain is constantly adapting to whatever is happening. So as a result, we feel like we're emotionally on top of things and we feel that we're emotionally connected. So it's always adding more scoops to that cone in its activity. Then there's the frontal lobes, the frontal cortex, the top scoops of ice cream associated with thoughts and language. This is really the executive part of the brain. It's the most active part of the brain that we use to continually generate thoughts and also how we control the thoughts that we generate. It's also a part of the brain that develops our language skills via the communication that we have with other people and then also through what we learn through reading. It's a very visual part of the brain. Every time we learn something new, it's like another scoop of ice cream is added. Every time we generate a new thought, another scoop is added. Did you notice I said new thought, not the repetition of the same old thoughts, even though they're new, they really aren't because they still have that emotional charge. So every time we generate a new thought, another scoop is added. Every time that we go in and we make a decision that feels right to us, this newer part of the brain adds more scoops of the ice cream. This is the newest part of the brain in its cerebral development in the human mind, and it's the interaction between the older, that first layer, that survival layer, that scoop of ice cream in the cone, and this newer third level of layer of ice cream scoops and everything that really is the combination that makes us up who we are today. The more the brain develops, the more neurons it creates. And therefore, the more neurons we have to fire to help us survive and deal with life. In fact, there's a well-known saying that I remember that a professor told me when I was studying, when I was taking a class on the neuroscience, the psychology of the brain, that addresses specifically this. What he said in that class is it's the more neurons that fire together, the more they wire together. So what he was really saying to me is the more activity we engage in that we learn from really stimulates the production of neurons. And the more neurons we have, the more intricate and the more neurons the firing and the wiring is. And as a result, we actually expand our ability to be able to adapt, think, and make decisions. So if I go back to the ice cream analogy, the more scoops that we're adding to this newer layer of the brain, then the more proficient it's going to become in working the way that it's designed to with the information and making decisions. This is part of its marvelous life. It loves to grow. It loves to be stimulated with learning. And it really loves to be able to build upon itself. In fact, if we look at this marvelous life of the brain, really, the brain, your brain loves to love and it loves to be loved. It's a very social organ and it really relies on the health and well-being of it with feeling loved and then being able to give that love to other people. However, where the brain actually works with love isn't the same place. So let me explain that. Where the brain likes to be loved isn't in the same area where it gives love. Giving love actually originates in that oldest part of the brain, that first scoop layer of ice cream in that cone. And it originates in that part of the brain near the centers that govern the sex drive, the thirst, the hunger, and behavior associated with survival. Because the giving love is a basic drive that focuses our energy on winning one of life's greatest prizes, a mating partner. This kind of love is the mechanism for survival. And again, it happens in the first layer. The primary region in the brain associated with being loved is in the newer part of the brain. It's that third layer of ice cream scoops, as it desires to feel like it belongs and to experience the feelings of attachment. Again, remember that the brain is very social, and it likes to feel like it belongs, and it likes to feel attached. The circuitry in this part of the brain is linked to lifelong love. People in long-term relationships actually show a higher activity in this part of the brain, because it's linked with what neuroscience calls the positive illusion part of the brain, the ability to overlook the faults of a person and to focus on a person's good quality. So in reality, if we're unable to put together a relationship or to sustain a relationship, our brain doesn't think that somehow we're flawed. It doesn't go in and say, oh, well, it's because you're not enough or you're, not capable of being loved. It actually is missing a part of its own survival and what it loves the most. So it is always driving you to be open, to heighten your awareness, to see if you're going to find that perfect person, or in the brain's case, in this marvelous life, it doesn't even care if it's the perfect person. It just wants you to find a person that you can be with to create a lifelong relationship with, so you can grow and develop, and emotionally grow and develop, and to help your brain have this marvelous life. Another thing that your brain likes to do is it loves to dream. And it loves to dream because the primary purpose of the brain is decision making. It's the problem solving. And when the other parts of the brain are active, it's very difficult for your brain and its marvelous life to do what it's really designed to do. So when you conk out, your brain becomes quiet, and it literally stops the activities that we use in our waking hours that are really very distractive and extremely active, but they're very tied to the amygdala and that fear stress response. So our brain really isn't able to make the decisions as quickly as it's designed to do, to validate the information the way that it's designed through the emotions. So it's like it's having to twiddle its thumbs until we get out of our own way and it can do what it's designed to do. So when we conk out, our brain actually becomes quiet. But after the first 90 minutes, what happens when we hit that REM sleep, it reactivates the brain as if the brain itself was awake. However, it doesn't wake up all of the brain. It just wakes up the part of the brain that's associated with dreaming. And it's the part of the brain, it's called the secondary visual cortex. It actually is the seat of our imagination and is the part of the brain that's visually rich with possibilities. That's why we have images in our dreams. And it's where we perform those over-the-top actions where there are no limitations. There are no coulda, shoulda, wouldas. And it takes on a life of its own where it actually creates these bizarre twists in how it looks at the problem without any limitations. While it's controlling, it's not being controlled. And it makes it possible for us to visualize old solutions and new solutions to old problems. So, and then the last thing that our brain loves is it loves to listen to music. So every time it hears music, it actually increases the neuron activity throughout the brain. And especially in the newer part of the brain, that third layer of ice cream scoops, and this is a part of the brain that connects with the emotional part of the brain, the second layer, and it begins to generate good memories. Now, it's interesting because we think that the minute we hit that hippocampus, that gateway to memory, the first thing that brain is going to do is it's going to go and seek out all bad memories. It doesn't. The reality of it is it seeks out positive memories first. And then, based on the emotional charge we have around the situation, then if it's encouraged in the emotional, that second layer of ice cream scoops, it's then encouraged to go and look at the bad part, then it does. I'm going to share a very quick story with you. And this quick story is around an actual song that I heard the other day. And when I heard that song, it immediately went in and opened up my memory bank about an eighth dance that I went to in eighth grade. And in this dance, I went with the most popular, the most handsome, and the most sought after guy in school. In fact, if I went in now and look back on it, I would probably ask myself, how did that happen? But when I heard that song, my brain didn't even go in how it happened. What it did is it went up and went into my memory banks, and it called up all the good memories. It called up that spaghetti strap dress that I wore. Now, that's aging me. I understand that. But, boy, did I look just absolutely beautiful, and it was a spaghetti strap and tight in the waist, and it had this big, full skirt to it, and I wore these little petticoats underneath it, and, I mean, it was just hourglass looking. And then, so I had got a chuckle out of that. And then it took me to the next memory about how important it was for my hair to be just perfect and my makeup. And I can remember in the positive parts of this how long I went in and looked at various colors of lipstick to perfectly match that dress. So when I saw him at the dance, because I wasn't old enough to drive, when I saw him at the dance, he was going to get that wow factor and feel really good about his decision to join me at the dance. I remember what it was like to walk into the dance, and he had the most beautiful dreamy blue eyes and dark wavy hair. I can still see him. I can see that smile, and I can really feel how it was to slow dance with him, and all of those good memories were there. So when my brain heard that song and triggered the memories, it pulled up all of those great things that happened. And if I found myself not only singing along to the song, but feeling good and up and thinking about all these wonderful memories. And you know, after I got through all that and the song ended, it was like all of a sudden it's like, oh, you don't remember that night at the dance when he left the dance with your best friend, do you? So in that particular case, it was like, oh, no, bummer. But it didn't go there first, contrary to what we think. And so what it does is it loves the sound of music to really recall the positive illusions and not the cons, not the bad things that happen. It only goes into the bad things that happen once that song ended and I started thinking deeper about the evening, and boom, then it came up. How could he have possibly done that? He left with my best friend. I'm going to talk some more about the brain, but what I want to do is I've got some callers. I also want to get onto them. But I think what I'd like to do is let's take a quick commercial break. I'll be right back. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this marvelous life of the brain, so stay tuned. I'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality?
red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is on the marvelous life of the mind and how it actually enjoys what it does and how it sees itself doing everything perfect. Even when it does what it's conditioned to do, interestingly, it still thinks it's doing perfectly. It doesn't get hung up on the bad things in life. It just restructures the bad things into problems and then seeks to solve the problems when we're asleep. And that's one of the things I talked about in the first segment, is that your brain loves, your mind loves to dream. If you didn't join me in the first part of the show, I wanted to remind you that today I just launched on my homepage, www.reitberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com, a drawing to win a free 1 hour reading with me. So if you're interested in signing up for it, just go to my homepage. There'll be a pop-up that comes up that says win a free hour. Just enter your email address, and then what you'll do is you'll be automatically entered into the drawing, which will take place October 1st. So I hope that you will enter. I would love to be able to spend an hour with you. I also want to encourage you, while you're on the site, once you sign up for the free drawing, is to explore that confidence webinar that I'm going to be having September 16th. And then also go in, and on the left-hand side of the page at the bottom of my homepage, under Contact Carol, please send your email address there as well. And then what I'll be doing is putting you into my database to be able to let you know when I have any new offers that are coming up, when I've got these new energy updates. I'm hoping to get one posted on my site in the next couple of weeks. And then also any notifications that I'm going to be sending out regarding the new things that I have, the new events that I've got coming on line, where I'm really in the process of moving a lot of the things that I've taught in on-site, in-person workshops online, so I'll be able to reach a lot of my listeners who follow my work, and thank you very much, all over the world. And speaking about that, I want to jump right in, and let's take Anne from New Zealand. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Hi, honey. I am very good. Oh, this is great. How can I help you, honey?
Well, I've got a bit of a funny thing. About 10 days ago, I developed these really icy feet, and they're very, very sensitive. And then I noticed my legs were really quite numb right up to my backside.
Right.
And I'm sort of just working on it, whether it's sort of a mechanical problem or more of an emotional problem. I was going through a fairly emotional time at that time when it started.
Right.
So just I'd like you to shed a bit of light on it if you can.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. What the emotional part of it was around the fear of stepping forward. And I want to change that perception, because you really have a lot of courage. You have a lot of resiliency. You have a lot of determination in you, I can pick up. But it just feels to me like you were frozen in place because you didn't have enough information to be able to deal with what you were having to deal with emotionally and the stress that it was generating. That stress and that emotional charge that was associated feels like it's let up. Is that true?
Yes, a sort of emotional problem with my sister sort of came to a bit of a head at that time.
Yes, yes. So from the emotional standpoint, you've moved beyond it. So what the emotional part that felt like you were frozen is no longer part of it. And then when I go into the physical body, it actually is a mechanical issue that you're dealing with. And obviously, it's in the lower part of the spine, and it's in two places of the lower part of the spine. It's in that lumbar two and three that's tied to the sciatic nerve, but you really don't have sciatica, it doesn't feel like. But also there's peripheral nerves. And then if I go down lower into the sacral part of the spine where we have, actually it's L5 and S1, we have a lot of peripheral smaller nerve threads that go down into the buttocks, the pelvic floor itself. When we our ankles get tight or that sacroiliac point, pelvic part of the body gets tight, then it's like everything freezes. Everything doesn't move forward. We're not getting the nerve impulses that we're needing. As a result, then we're not getting the blood circulation that we need. That's part of the cold. And then what we're also not doing is we're not getting that nerve messaging, those impulses to animate the muscles. So the muscles then start to become numb because they're not getting what they need. Circulation changes. And as a result, then it's not getting the oxygen or the blood that it needs and goes from there. So it's a mechanical issue that's being affected in that lower area. But that really isn't the origin site of it, sweetie. The origin site of it is in your mid-back. It's higher up in your spine. It's in the thoracic part of the spine. And it's in that thoracic plexus that is between, in your particular case, it's not actually where the plexus is, but it's thoracic 6, 7, and 8 vertebrae. And if the metaphor that I get in that part of the brain is that we become frozen. We can't move forward emotionally. We can't make decisions. We feel off kilter, off balance because the muscles lock down in that part of the brain and it compresses it and the nerves in a way that what it does is we can't move forward, backward, side to side, freely the way it needs to. And it's like a chain reaction that goes from there and squeezes muscularly each one of the vertebrae down all the way to the lower back. Now, if I take that, that is the origin site. So what occurred is it feels like you were, and I'm going to be melodramatic, you were emotionally kicked in the gut. And it was like trying to get your breath and trying to figure out what just happened and trying to go through and for your brain to do what it's designed to do, which is to solve a problem. When it did that, it also created the same chain reaction moving up into your neck area, and what it did is it triggered an old memory in your muscles on both sides of the trapezius muscle around the brachial plexus, your shoulders. It's like, OMG, I'm carrying these things again. I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulder. I don't know which direction to turn. I don't know where to move forward. And it just locked down all of the muscles. The nice part after all of this, the really nice part about this is that it's a muscular issue, and it's something that can be taken care of by working with relaxing the muscles, stretching the muscles, working with someone that can help you actually realign the spine from it being clamped down, chiropractor, reflexology, acupuncture, any of those things would be able to be very, very helpful. I'm not finding where there's any real major structural damage from a bone standpoint. It's just your just muscles went back to old memories and locked you down.
Okay. Could I work on it from an emotional side as well?
You know what? I wouldn't. It feels like it's been there, done that. You did exactly where it was. You kind of got frozen in place. It feels to me like you stopped worrying about it. I mean, I know that it's still there. I can feel it, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put the energy in that. I would go in and I would focus on your body, relaxing it, getting the compression off of the plexus that I talked about, the nerves themselves, and then let's start getting some movement back into that part of the body. You also could add some heat if you had any kind of flaxseed or lavender packs that you could heat up. You could also put those on your feet. That will stimulate the blood circulation. That will help with the cold. The other thing that you can do is you could actually get your feet rubbed or you rub them. That's going to stimulate nerve reaction response, and it's also going to help you get the blood flow that you need and the oxygen you need to your feet.
Okay.
I'm going to go here because I just need to. I keep picking up that you have a concern that there may be a blood clot. Is that really true?
No, I did have it checked with a doctor,
okay.
And he checked all my nerve impulses and all that sort of thing,
okay.
Reflexes. They're all fine.
Okay.
And I've had two acupuncture treatments. The first one I didn't notice any improvement. The second one, a slight improvement.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, because when I went in, especially on your spiritual side, the left side of your body, when I touched that, when I was doing kind of my final glimpse to see, make sure I picked up everything, then when I went in on the left side of your body, that soul side, that it was like, oh my gosh, it was like I picked up in your mind, do I have a blockage? Am I having difficulty bringing my spiritual, soulful nature forward? And then all of a sudden I got a blood clot. And then it's like, oh, no, it's not really a blood clot. So there isn't anything. Your doctor's accurate. But it just feels like this little hiccup that happened in your thinking, and but it's all gone now. So
yes,
I should
follow my spiritual side a bit better.
yes. So there you go. So, but I just needed to go in and look, and it's like, nope. We don't have a blood clot. So there you go. So you should continue to, yeah. So, sorry, honey. I just never know when I touch somebody's energy where it's going to take me. You know, that mind comes in and goes, oh, Carol, I have a final question here. And then it downloads and there it is. Anyway, a pleasure, sweetie. You should continue feeling better, more circulation, more movement, and be up on your feet and ready to go in no time at all.
Oh, that's lovely. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Carol.
You are most welcome, and thank you again for calling me. You have a wonderful, let's see, I think it's evening your time, isn't it? All right.
Quarter 20 to 6 in the morning.
Oh my gosh. Well, you have a lovely day.
I will.
thank you very much. Oh,
thank
you're welcome. All right. What I'd like to do is let's take Sally. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Oh, Carol, it's all about relationship now. You mentioned that part of the brain, and it's, wow, it's blowing wide open.
Well, you know, it feels to me like you've been looking for an attachment, a special someone for a long time, and your brain's going, okie dokie, come on.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is the one, but I've been having a good time for a couple of weeks, right?
Yes, you have.
But I don't, if it ended to tomorrow, I would be so grateful and happy because it opened me up tremendously and,
uh-huh.
and brought a lot to me. But I'm really having trouble reading the signs. I don't know what the heck I'm doing with this man. Can you
yeah.
help me out? I'm confused. I'm not sure where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And also there's a strong pattern in him that has been in relationship, really after relationship of an addiction.
Right. Okay, so the first thing when I tap into you, your mind loves it. And your mind isn't really worried whether it's going to last or if it's right or it's wrong. It loves being in relationship. It's bringing forth a lot of those positive memories, those joyful aspects of your personality forward. So it really isn't concerned from the standpoint of how it's responding and reacting. What is coming up, and it's not, I should go in because your soul wanted me to continue that, is your soul and your mind isn't even really concerned if it lasts or doesn't last. It just loves, both love what it's doing because it is, as you said, opening you up. What really is happening is that it's what you know about him that's creating the confusion, because in your memory bank, who he is and how he acts doesn't feel familiar to your mind. It feels like you've kind of kissed a lot of frogs that might be kind of like that, but this is a new uncharted territory for your brain.
Right.
And that cautious part of you from the memory of your older relationships is indeed active. But this is new. That's why you don't know where to go. You don't know how to act. This is a completely different behavior. While your brain's loving it and it wants to stay in it as long as it lasts, and if it lasts a day, fine. If it lasts a year, fine. Your brain's not worried about it.
Right.
But it's just this behavior that you don't have any memories in your memory banks around that type of addictiveness. And the addictiveness is I touch his energy through you, and he's a very open being, which could be part of his addictiveness, because that openness of him is kind of like, you know, a drink of ice water on a hot day. Once you get it, it feels really good, and I want a lot more of it, especially if I have a lot of hot days. So there is an addictive pattern to it. And I think, now I came in to it overriding what I was picking up. I think what is happening is that it's important for you to go in and look at what you call addictive behavior. And, go ahead.
Sometimes he drinks too much?
Yes.
And gets himself into trouble that way?
Yes, he does. He's real lovey-dovey. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, if he had any inhibitions within himself around relationships, give him a little bit of booze and he has no inhibitions.
Right.
And so it, you know, may not be right. And that's, I'm certainly not one to judge anything, nor are you, sweetie, in the nature of who you are. The reality of it is it frees him and his brain to do what it's designed to do, and that's to belong and to be in a relationship with that attachment, that positive illusion part of the brain. He's looking for a long-term relationship just like you are.
Is he?
Yeah, absolutely.
And is he? I'm wondering if I'm giving him no signals when I don't mean to be giving him no signals. Like, is he interested in being in a long-term relationship with me?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God, okay.
Absolutely, but I wouldn't worry about any of that because your brain is just going, tell her not to worry about that, Carol. All I wanted, that's okay. Maybe him calling, who knows? What your brain is saying, don't worry about any of that. All I want you to do is just have a good time.
Oh, yeah?
Take this situation, learn from it, grow from it. Put information into your memory banks. This is part of what you've been looking for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And when that confusion comes up, all that is your brain, old memories around old relationships coming forward and saying, oh, you know, I think you should be a little cautious. Listen to that. But don't let that stop you from enjoying the ride.
Okay.
He's doing the same thing. He needs to become uninhibited, to be able to move forward, to really commit the way they needs to. It's a great dance, sweetie. I would go with the dance. Like you said, if it lasts a week, woohoo. If it lasts a year, woohoo.
All right.
If it ends tomorrow, so be it. All right.
Thank you, Carol, so much. I love you.
You are most welcome. I love you too, sweetie. So thank you for calling me.
Okay.
All right. So what I want to do is I just want to touch on a couple more things, specifically one thing that you're brain really loves to do, and what it really loves to do is it loves to meditate. Meditation on an awakened state is as close to dreaming as it can possibly get when all the rest of the activities and the distractions are happening. So in the time of meditation, it lets the brain do what it loves, which is to dream, and to be able to reorganize itself, reevaluate what's going on, and to be able to get back into the process of solving problems, which is what its primary objective is. The process of meditation, we now know and following the research on it, can actually grow brain tissue, improving the activities of the emotional part of the brain. Now, that's that second layer of ice cream scoops, so we're better able to cope with the challenges that life presents us. Meditation helps us become more resilient and better problem solvers, and it also engages the newest part of the brain, that third layer of ice cream scoops, which is the executive part of the brain, so we can actually be more efficient and proficient in being able to create, to be able to solve problems in a more timely manner. The reason that your marvelous brain wants to do this in its marvelous life is that it likes to deal with problems, but it doesn't like to dwell on problems. It doesn't like the negativity of the emotions that are associated with those memories, like, I can't make that decision, been there, done before, it was the wrong decision. Your brain is actually up there going, okay, get over it, let's move on. I want to go back into the dreaming. I want to go back into the enjoyment. I want to go back into looking for love and being loved and all the things that it really, really enjoys. I want to be social. I don't want to be isolated. I don't want to be distracted or be asked to do something I don't want to do. So it likes to go back to where it was. In one study, participants who meditated 40 minutes every day actually showed thicker gray matter in the areas involved with attention that has to do with the executive part of the brain and the second layer, the emotional part of the brain, decision-making, second layer emotional part of the brain, and the working memory compared to those who didn't meditate. In the same study, when they studied people who didn't meditate, they actually had thicker gray matter in the posterior cerebellum hypothalamus activity of the brain, the amygdala part of the brain associated with survival. So that part of the brain was actually developed more based on the fact of way your marvelous mind has been conditioned to be able to respond. So what we found is that in meditation in this study, what they found is that as you meditated and actually increased the brain tissue in the emotional and frontal part of the brain, it actually decreased the density in the gray matter in the back part of the brain, that first layer of survival of ice cream scoops in the amygdala, which again generates stress. So one of the benefits, of course, we know from meditation is that it helps us with stress. All right, I've got one more caller I'd like to take on, and then I may add a few more. It just depends. Hi, Debbie. How are you, sweetie? How can I help you?
Hi.
Hi, honey. How can I help you? Thank you for hanging on.
I've got something going on in my sinuses, but and they have prescribed me an antibiotic, but I don't know if my body really recognizes, my immune system doesn't seem to recognize what's in there, or else I'm being distracted again by something emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were talking, I kind of got the impression that I'm a little bit confused about this negative voice inside of me that's coming up, and I've been wanting to get rid of it for a long time, and I'm hoping that this homeopathic I'm holding in my hand is going to get rid of it if I take it all day. But it's like coming up.
Yes. Okay, so let's go in and first of all validate your intuition on the antibiotics. You don't have a bacterial infection. You have a yeast infection.
Oh, it's a yeast infection in there, and it's causing this constant dripping?
It is. Your body is doing what it's designed to do. It's trying to get rid of the yeast. It's trying to get, when you get yeast overload, and I don't even want to categorize it as candida, sweetie, because that seems really too big and over the top with you.
But oh, I'd freak out.
But it isn't. It's just when you get stressed, you get acidic, like we all do. But what you do is in that acidity, it causes a yeast overgrowth that really isn't clinically classified as candida, but it goes systemic. It goes into your lungs. I can taste it in your mouth, and it goes into your sinus. And so what it's doing is that you could do the antibiotic very honestly, but the reality of it is you need to do something that is more candida, something that is more around managing the yeast.
Could I irrigate?
Absolutely. Use a neti pot. Irrigate. The homeopathic remedy that you were talking about, was that correct? I think that's what you called it.
I think that's for the negative voice.
Yeah, well, actually, that's going to help you with the sinus.
Oh, does this kill mold and candida and all kinds of darkness?
It does.
See, I didn't know whether to believe. I've kind of taken it off and on. They don't even sell the vibrational disc for it anymore because people would walk in and then it would bring up their darkness and they wouldn't, you know, it would start surfacing in them and then they couldn't deal with it. And the first few times I took it, yeah, it was kind of traumatic. But as I've gone along, I've adapted to it. The other day I got rid of something by taking it all day long.
Yes. Yes. And what it'll do is you'll notice that by doing that, what it's doing is it's replacing. Homeopathic medicine is very vibrational.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it's like you put in the tincture the very thing that is happening in the body. But the vibrational undertones of homeopathy is that it creates the opposite effect in how the body works with it. So when you work with it emotionally, what it's really doing is it's taking away that maybe sourness or that bitterness that you may be experiencing or that, oh darn, it's back type thing, what it does is it actually changes the pH of your system, and then it stops the yeast overgrowth, and then as a result, you don't find yourself having the runny nose, the dripping. You don't find yourself feeling as stuffy. Now, the other thing that your body is doing is it's saying to you, when you're dealing with this darkness that pops up, and I call them dark memories, conditioned
right.
memories, we can do that. Your mind, via the message from your soul, is going, whoa, we need to take an express elevator and go up. We need to get to that higher intuitive part, which is who you are and how you see the world. It's like, you know, you're down here scraping up all the remnants of everything, honey, and you're supposed to be at the top of the mountain trying to figure out how to solve the problem. You're not supposed to be down in the trenches dealing with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is doing, the way that it's manifesting in your body, is it's saying, Debbie, you're a highly developed intuitive being. If you just step up and look to your intuition and allow your marvelous mind, who doesn't like to dwell on the negative, let it do its job. It will reorganize and actually change the vibration of that negativity, turn it into a problem, and it'll solve the problem. And ultimately, the memory may still be there, but the emotional charge is gone.
Yeah, I do have some homeopathics for sinuses, and I will use those
yes.
as well.
This Absolutely.
Is, this is a light bringer homeopathic,
mm-hmm.
and at least that's what she claims it does. It brings light in it, but it ends up flushing out the other stuff.
It does. What it does is it vibrationally takes that brain back out, takes that brain out of that grip, that bad memories or bad emotions or negative emotions, whatever we want to call them. The brain doesn't like to have those grip it in a way that it can't do what it's designed to do. It doesn't want to dwell on it. It doesn't want to fixate on it. It will, but it's only fixating on it because it wants to solve it. What these remedies do is it brings in the light into your sixth chakra, your intuitive nature, and everything looks different.
Oh, all right. That's, I know I was just taking the word of the person that made this remedy, and I wasn't really sure. It's very soothing to me to listen to the disc, but usually 2 or 3 days later, an issue will come up for me to review.
Well, all it's doing is it's saying, hey, good job. Let's pull up the next one.
Okay.
Change the perception of it. And how you can do that also is just say to your brain, you know what? I really don't want to deal with this right now. There's nothing wrong with that. And it goes, whoopee, okay, good. Let's go back and do what we do best.
Okay. I don't quite understand.
You can tell your brain when the next bad thing comes up.
Uh-huh.
Tell your brain, if you're not ready to deal with it, tell your brain, I'm not ready to deal with this right now. You can say those words to it, and it reorganizes
oh.
itself in a way that it won't.
So if I am ready to deal with it, the thing that I'm confused about is, are these things coming up and clearing, or am I letting go of the stories, or am I just sitting there circling in them over and
nope.
over?
Nope, you're ready. If they come up and you decide to work with them, you are ready to work with them.
All right. I just didn't want to be spinning my wheels for nothing.
Well, when you stay in bad memories and you get confused, and the way the brain works, we get confused and we try to control it, it spins.
Okay.
And it's spinning because it's saying, hello, I don't want to be here.
Oh.
I don't know what you're asking of me. It's saying to you, I don't know what you're asking of me.
Oh, so I need to get clear on what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Oh, I just want that negative voice to just flush out of me.
Well, use your homeopathic remedies, use the disc, use all the other things. But you know what? There are negative emotions within us that are there. I mean, they're part of what we do.
So I just accept it and that will disperse it?
Well, you accept it. Thank you. You accept it. But what you also have to do is you have to tell it, okay, we're done. Stop fixating. Let's move on. Let's solve the problem. I'm sorry, sweetie. If you want to listen to this again, sweetie, in my archives, it'll be up in a couple of days. You can go back and listen to it. But I think you're right on course. Absolutely.
And
fabulous.
Andita, and that could make it worse if I take the antibiotic. Try flushing.
No, I wouldn't take those. So I'm sorry, sweet. I have to do a wrap. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I ran out of time. Love your marvelous mind. It loves you. Have a happy week. I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love to all of you.
been listening to The Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ryberger.com. That's www.ryberger.com. See you soon.